All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. How's everybody? Today is Tuesday, February 23rd, 2021. Not much is going on. I will say my dad got his second shot, his vaccine. I don't know, there's somewhere, it's all, you know, weird and interesting until, you know, your father gets a second shot, and then you're like, okay, good, that's good. And I know it made him feel better. I deal with a lot of, I wouldn't say elderly, but older, 60s, 70s, and it is a real concern for people, so I know that people are starting to get their second shots, and that's great. It makes me happy. I don't have a lot going on. Not much is happening. It's kind of, I don't know. I've always kind of felt like that was kind of one of the challenges of sobriety for me, is that you just kind of get better and then there's not much going on. Then I have to tend to dig around and dig shit up, make trouble. I don't have a lot of trouble going on. I don't have anybody to apologize to. It's pretty boring. I had a guy on my podcast yesterday who was his name is Doc, and he does physical therapy and training, and, you know, he works with, you know, individuals that have injuries or to prevent injuries or building strength. He's a really great guy, and I enjoyed the conversation. His thing is, though, it's a faith-based business. So Christian-based, he'll sit and pray with you. He'll pray with you even if you don't want to. Reborn Christian, whatever you call it, but he's found the Lord. And that's great. You know, and I talk about my relationship with the higher power, and I talk about surrendering and you know, letting God help. But I'm even at a point, you know, I'll only go so far. You know, I'll have a relationship with a higher power. I recognize that, you know, I'm not the most important person in the universe. And then, you know, I pray and I say it out loud. And, you know, I do all those things. But, you know, I'm not going to go walk around a mall and hand out Bibles. I am not going to, you know, anybody that gives me an ear, I'm going to fill it with a bunch of, you know, Christian and religious beliefs. I mean, I'm not even that committed. I mean, it makes me, you know, the whole time I kept thinking about, you know, am I falling short when it comes to the Lord or higher power? And I don't think so. I'm not, you know, I think it's an easy way to deter people from coming into a program or even getting sober. You know, the vision or the thought of Christianity and religion in my mind was not something that, if this was going to be that kind of, you know, that hard stance where I've got to, you know, be a Bible thumper, and I don't know if I'd stayed. You know? You know, I was in the program for a long time, not really having any sort of higher power. I mean, having one, I guess. I mean, right? But not understanding it and using it correctly or practicing some of the things that I was being taught and realizing, you know, in little spoonfuls, right, that it does help to recognize a higher power, to recognize, you know, I just say G-O-D, God. I also believe, or I should say, I also don't necessarily believe in the Bible. It's tough. It is tough. And, I want to do everything to the best of my abilities, and I feel like this is still a topic I struggle with. Because it is, to be all in is a huge commitment. And I'm just not, I don't know, it's tough, man, it's tough. So if I was just going to, like, you know, look around for problems that I have, you know, that, I don't sit around feeling like that's a problem, but when I have a, when I chat with a gentleman like I did yesterday, and I realize how 100% committed he is to the Lord, it makes me wonder if I'm still, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do. It's tough. You know, I feel good today. You know, and I think that the things that I do choose to use in my spiritual journey are very helpful on a daily basis. On a daily basis, I use, you know, prayer and conversation to expose, you know, my self-centered fear, a world of fear. Fear-based. Weird. Yeah, I don't know. How's everybody doing? I'm going to read. Let's see if we can read something. Maybe I like to try and I like to try to share kind of what I'm feeling for the day and then read the daily reflections and see if it gives me some sort of confirmation or something, but like I said, I don't have a lot of problems today. February 23rd, mysterious paradoxes. Ooh. Such is the paradox of AA. Regeneration, strength arising out of a complete defeat and weakness. The loss of one's old life as a condition for finding a new one. AA comes of age, page 46. What glorious mysteries paradoxes are. They do not compute. Yet when recognized and accepted, they reaffirm something in the universe beyond human logic. When I face a fear, I am given courage. When I support a brother or sister, my capacity to love myself is increased. When I accept pain as part of the growing experience of life, I realize a greater happiness. When I look at my dark side, I am brought to the new light. When I accept my vulnerabilities and surrender to a higher power, I am graced with unforeseen strength. I stumble through the doors of AA in disgrace, expecting nothing from life, and I have been given hope and dignity. Miraculously, the only way to keep the gifts of the program is to pass them on. Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you are out there and you are on the edge, you know, just trying to figure out if you want to get sober or be part of a program or something like that. I know for me, I did this a long time and didn't have any success. You know, and it was really, you know, I'd like to say it was about being honest, taking a hard look, Tom, let's get honest. But now I got punched in the face. You know, shame and guilt. I was so full of shame and guilt, embarrassed. Mortified. Those open the door for me. Hey, there's a different door. Most people come in, but there is this door if you'd like to join us through this way, which is, you know, shame and guilt. I think a lot of people come in through that door. Not many people come in because they're just exhausted from lifting a glass of vodka to their lips. Our lives become unmanageable to everybody else. It's an interesting thought. You know, I thought we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. That made all complete sense to me when I heard it the first time. Alcohol, unmanageable. wasn't really the case. You know, it's a whatever it is. The problem is that every day that goes by since the thing happened, that anguish and anxiety and shame and guilt start to fade. We start feeling better. That's the point where you have to figure out if you're in it for the long haul. You know, because I can remember hundreds of times being exposed to shame and guilt and changing, quitting drinking for a day or two, or maybe a week at the most, right? I didn't really have any good reason to quit. Everything was seemed to be fine. I had a job, some sort of relationship with my parents, barely. And then these constant moments where it would rock the whole family. DUIs, crashing cars, wrecking shit, fighting, you know, whatever it was always this, when are we going to get the next phone call? But for some reason, the last time, not even the last time, the time that I got punched was a big enough moment for me to somehow stick and hang in there for a while. But I started doing things that didn't look like what I had been doing prior to coming in, which was drinking vodka every day. I started using some pills. Those weren't really a problem. Pills have never been a problem. I remember once getting pain pills and giving them away to somebody because I just didn't have any, I didn't like that stuff. But when I hurt my back and had to take the pills, I, for some reason, found a new relationship with them. But it didn't involve drinking and it didn't involve driving. It was just a pill for pain. And I would use them. And they would be an issue. So to drink 4 years later, I mean, it just made sense. I mean, I wasn't really sober. I mean, I was not drinking vodka. That was definitely not happening. But I was doing the pills. And I was binging on them. I was a binge pill taker. But that didn't seem that like that was a big problem at the time. But it's just another thing that keeps me from having that relationship. That spiritual awakening. How can you have a spiritual awakening if you're taking pills? How can you have a spiritual awakening if you're lying or cheating or stealing? Which I was doing all of. You know, I remember Matt telling me, you know, it should be a crime to steal your parents' happiness, to steal your parents' serenity. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't steal from my parents. Yeah, you think that the life that you live right now, you don't think your parents lay awake or go to bed at night thinking about, you know, what's going to become of you? Their son? You know, my kids aren't even involved in anything. I mean, and I lay in bed and I worry about them, you know? I can't imagine if my oldest was out there running the streets, drinking and, you know, wrecking shit. I mean, I would be, when's the shoe going to drop? Stealing their serenity. You know, they're retired. They're dealing with me. So I was a thief. And I was a liar. You know, my employer, screwing them over, showing up to work. I got drunk every day prior to getting sober. Every day I would drink and show up drunk. That's probably the one place that I really started to do some positive things was my job. I've always been a good worker. I've always enjoyed having a job. I love working. So when I got sober, all of a sudden I became responsible and reliable. all of a sudden I became the guy that would do all the jobs that nobody wanted to do. You know, I was a, I did irrigation. I used to drive a golf cart around in the middle of the night with a flashlight and a pair of pliers turning on fairway heads. But it was weird in the beginning when I got sober because I wanted to just be better. I just want to be better. So I would say yes to everything, and I would do everything. You know, I remember my boss, like, having a big snowstorm, nobody coming to work. My boss is like, how about if I come get you? I'm like, okay, come pick me up. I didn't want to do it because I wanted to shovel the snow. I wanted to please him. I felt like I'd been such a disappointment for so long. It was time that I start pleasing. I've always had trouble saying no. And if I do, I feel so bad. Nah, I'm not coming. Oh, I'd feel horrible. Right away, I'm going to get fired. You know, right away, I go to this bad place. I was watching Howard Stern last night, and I don't know, it was like an old one. And there was a big snowstorm in New York City, and Gary Delabonte, you know, it was funny because if you work outside or you're in a, if you work at all and you know, like, a big snowstorm's coming, I used to right away be like, oh, maybe we'll get out of going, having to go to work. Maybe we'll get out of work because of the snow. Can't get there. So Gary was going to go back to his house, apparently in New Jersey, kind of knowing, that's the feeling that I got, that it's going to snow. I won't be coming in because I'm going to be at my home in New Jersey. And Howard's like, well, why don't you just stay at the apartment here in New York so that you can be here for the show? But he was very, you know, he's like, so I cannot count on you for tomorrow, right? And that is, like, brutal. No, and he's like, no, you can't count on me. And it was a mess because it was very passive-aggressive, and I felt bad for Gary. But I know how he feels. You know, it's a snowstorm. I want to go home. This is that day where the snow shows up and we don't have to go to work and we all rejoice. Ooh. But Howard's like, you can stay in the city. It's funny. I don't know. It's a, you know, I'm going to start, I think, maybe going into the third step. We're talking some more about the second step. You know, I feel like I've talked about the first step for a long time. Maybe it's time to move on to the next one. I don't know.
Necessary, they can only do.
So I was looking at this here. It says, step three is defined as to make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And then there's some other, it's interesting, Google's interesting. It says, how to do, step three of AA questions. Number one, how has acting on my own self-will affected my life? It's not been good, right? I mean, I can, you know, and that's a great question because it is, for me, it's a disease of self. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. When I come to the fork in the road, one side is what I want to do and one side is what I should do. I choose the side of what I want to do. And that's gotten me into a lot of problems. And if it hasn't gotten me into a lot of problems, I have to check out the motivation behind the decision in the first place. You know? How can I take actions to turn it over? I love that. For me, just saying it. Saying it out loud. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. It's the attempt. It's not the outcome. It's the attempt. You know, you try. The more uncomfortable, I think, the more of a positive outcome. That's why they say when you do that fifth step, you have to sit down with some human and say it out loud. It's embarrassing. It's annoying and it's fucking, it sucks and it should. What is the difference between my will and God's will? Well, probably, if it's your will, it probably makes you happy. And if it's God's will, it probably doesn't. You know, I always tell my kids, are you happy?
Yes.
I'm probably a terrible parent. You know, to do the work, to try and build character is uncomfortable and it sucks because it's usually a crummy conversation, you know? I was just talking to my buddy on the phone, talking about getting our kids to do their laundry, asking them 10 times. At 10 times, are we doing our kids any favors that way? I know for me, I'm doing myself a favor because I'm not getting my kid too pissed off at me because, you know, I love my kid and I don't want him mad at me. But how do I figure out what's too far, what's not far enough? You know, God's will is probably all the shit that I don't want to do. My will is everything that I do want to do. It's pretty pretty clear. Let's see. What else was there? How is my higher power working in my life? Well, for me, I know if I have a higher power, which I do, I use it. I'm praying all the time. I'm turning things over. I'm running things by my higher power. If something doesn't go my way, I try to figure out what it is that my higher power wants me to learn from this, right? Character, not characters. Is my current concept of a higher power working my needs to change? Is my current concept of a higher power working my need to change? I don't really know what that means. That's interesting. I mean, is it a concept?
I guess
the concept is that I'm not the most important person. Think of others. Think of my higher power. You know, stop and pause. I mean, but this is all for me. This is all peace of mind. This is all serenity stuff. This wasn't the shit that I was going through when I was trying to get sober. When I was trying to stop fucking drinking, this is not what I was worried about. I don't think any of this, I mean, it's been proven people do not need any of this to stay sober off of alcohol. You don't need a higher power. You don't need a relationship with God. You don't need any of this. But you'll be a dry drunk. You'll be free of the drink, but free of serenity. The ability to work things out, compromise, give and take. When you're wrong, be wrong. When you're right, be quiet. Take 10 things and look at how you'd react, and then there are probably 10 opposite reactions that are probably better for you. Staying positive, just, you know. But, you know, being honest, I think, is probably the biggest one. But when you first come in, it's really just about find a freaking home group. Find a temporary sponsor. Don't drink. Go to a meeting every day. Every day you should be at a meeting. Start to get a little taste of what that life is like. I've shared before, driving down the road for the first time, not drunk, was an amazing moment for me. Not only was I living in anxiety because I was a drunk driver, but I was also living in anxiety because I knew I was going to still be a drunk driver the next day. And the next day. And when you're a drunk driver, there's only one outcome. Well, there's two. One, you fucking crash and kill somebody or yourself. Or two, you get caught driving drunk. There's a lot of little other opportunities in there, but those are the big ones, right? And so you're just constantly wondering, when's it going to happen? It's like when I used to ditch school, I ditched the first day and lie. Then I'd lie about ditching school the second day and the first day. You know, it's just a cesspool of an existence. Be honest. Change everything you've been doing if you want to get sober. And I know in the beginning we all want to. This feels so good. So great. But there's something about that that is serving self. You know, there's a... on a cloud of pink that turns to gray and I'm alone again. That Lane Staley, man. That I think that's... I forget the band he's doing that with. But, you know, he talks about it, you know. We come in and there's that pink cloud because we're doing something so completely different than what we've ever done. Getting by, not upsetting people, not living with this fear that I'm going to drink too much again tomorrow or something. It's like, it's nice. Shaking hands, being part of a group. But a lot of that is self-serving. And it starts to fade and it doesn't have the, then it becomes a little less pink. Right? And that cloud starts to turn to gray. With the guy that used to bring in the creamers, you know, just has to, we have to serve self. We have to be unique. We have to be so much better. The problem is you're not, your audience at an AA or in wherever meeting you're joining, your audience isn't, you know, they may be like, hey, good job the first time. But everything after that is like, dude, you're just bringing fucking creamer. We get sensitive. Fuck that bullshit. No one's recognizing what I'm doing. And then out the door, that pink cloud has turned to gray, and out the door we go. And we start it all over again. Just keep coming back, right? Just keep coming back. Listen, I hope everyone has a great day. Sorry about, I don't know, we're trying to figure out some things. We've been recording on different computers, and the other podcast I posted the other day, it was very echoey. I don't know. I told Cody we may take it down and repost it. Just bear with us. We're just trying to get it all figured out. You know, if you can be of service to somebody, reach out. You know, you might be the one of a two-person meeting maybe someone needs out there. You know, reach out to your friends. If you're new, I feel bad for people that want to be sober. I mean, if you really want to be sober, it'll happen. But man, I told my wife the other day, I miss meetings. I cannot wait to get back to a meeting.
words are very unnecessary. They can only do.